Great to see all of you today. Glad that you're here, that you're having a good time today so far. Yeah. How many of you are getting ready for a little nap now? Well, I hope not. We will try to address that and keep you alert for a couple moments anyway. Sally and I do have a very, 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 very small gift for each and every one of you out on the table. You'll notice that there are some bookmarks out there. There's a wide variety, so you can go shopping. We invite you to take one, and if you have somebody at home you want to give one to, take one for them, each of them, and just have a good time. If there's enough left over, Christmas Eve, it's come one, come all. First come, first serve, okay? Anyway, Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. We love every one of you. It's been a blessing to be here with you, serving our Savior together and working for the glory of Christ. One of the favorite movies when our boys were young was The Mighty Ducks. Did any of you ever see The Mighty Ducks? Yeah, several of you have. Young man got in trouble with the law, and he was ordered to do community service. He was sent to the inner city, where there was a group of boys who had an ice hockey team. And these were young kids. They were in trouble, too. They were from all different types of families, all kinds of mixed match. They were a motley bunch. They weren't working together. They wouldn't follow directions. And he just kept working and working with them. Finally got them to blend together to be a team, and they won the championship. Isn't that a good story? Okay, we're done today. No. What a motley bunch. And he pulled them together through a lot of hard work, a lot of challenges. Do you remember your first grade class? All the kids in your first grade? How many of you have a memory that goes back that far? Weren't they a wonderful bunch of kids? All kinds of different backgrounds, and you looked at them, and some were scrawny, some were buck teeth, some didn't have any teeth, fat, skinny, all different sizes, all different shapes, but they were all given equal opportunity to learn. And can you list all the good that has come from your class, your first grade class, for after decades, some of us? Who could list all the good things that have resulted from that little motley bunch of first graders? You know, only God knows all the good that has come from that first grade class that you attended. How about you, those of you who are in military? That first day you signed up, walked into the line, were you all looking the same, nice, sharp, clean cut, and ready to go? Or were there some different looking characters amongst those adults? Fat, skinny, tall, short, and everybody had their own ideas, but through basic training you learned to work as a team, to work towards victory, to the protection of our nation, to work towards victory for the United States of America. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your dedication. But at first, did you wonder about that other guy, that other lady? Are they going to make it? Most people who begin reading the New Testament get to Matthew chapter 1. And what do they immediately run into? A long list of strange names. Now, most people are going to just say, what's that doing in there? How many of you can pronounce all those names? And for a new reader of the Scriptures, they get to that, and they're probably wondering, what in the world do I want to know a list of ancestors that Matthew took time to write down here? I can't even pronounce their names. So I'll just skip over this section. Let's see, where's a good place to pick up? And they'll drop down through until they get down to about verse 17 or 18. Matthew was writing primarily to the Jews who should have known their Old Testament. They should have heard the stories over and over again, and they would recognize the extensive list of individuals that Matthew is writing here. And not only the list of individuals, but as Matthew continues on, the many lists of evidences of fulfilled prophecies that Matthew writes down in the pages to follow. Their hope for a God-sent Messiah was being fulfilled through this individual that Matthew is writing about. That Jesus is the Messiah, is what Matthew was saying. And he makes a list of all the different ways that Jesus is the Messiah, so that those who were familiar with the Old Testament would recognize all this lengthy list of fulfilled statements and prophecies. However, Matthew did not write exclusively to the Hebrew nation. With a little study, me, a Gentile, as well as most of you, we will find that the Savior from God was sent from the Jews for all people, and he was the Messiah anticipated by them as well as the whole world. Regardless of our question about the purpose of the list of the names in Matthew chapter 1, if we'll just take time to look at that list, we find some interesting details. Regarding our question about the purpose of that list in Matthew 1, one answer is that God had a divine plan for a Savior who would come for how many people? All people. To transform all sinners from the motley to the majesty. God wants us to become like Him. God used a ragtag bunch from humanity to accomplish His plan of redemption. So let's dive into this list that we may have skipped over many, many times and take a look at it one more time. Starting in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, down through verse 17. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Ammon, and Ammon the father of Josiah. And Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud, and Abihud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliad. Eliad was the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matthan, and Matthan the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, what is the answer? 14 generations. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of life. Thank you for your scriptures, all of your scriptures. Father, sometimes we get a little confused. We're frustrated. We don't always understand. We would ask for your wisdom, your understanding today. Help us each to grow in fuller knowledge and appreciation of your scriptures, understanding of your truth, your promises. Father, enlighten each one of us according to our need. Let your Spirit work powerfully, and let us be receiving of that power. We thank you for Jesus, for his coming, as promised, fully, completely. And we thank you that he is coming again in power and majesty. Let us each be ready. Right now, let us each prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word, your instruction, your guidance. We would ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are probably several other reasons for this being included in Scripture, but I want to deal with a couple little things regarding this list of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus is the promised one from Abraham's family. We notice we started off in the genealogies with Abraham in this record that Matthew gives to us. Jesus is the promised one from Abraham's family. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." God does not say "and to seeds" as referring to many, but rather to one, "and to your seed," that is, Christ. This is about Jesus Christ. God was talking about Jesus Christ even in the promises given to Abraham. Throughout the Old Testament, it is repeated and the references to a Messiah that was coming, a Messiah that would be good for all of the people. He is alluded to in the oft-repeated promises regarding Abraham's family. The genealogies were vitally important to the Jews. Their understanding of their hope and the promise stemmed from their relationship with Abraham, the father of the nation. God had made special promises to Abraham and his descendants of land, of possessions, of protection, and blessing. A blessing not only for those descendants, but also to all the earth, but especially to their family. If you receive a promise for your family, you kind of latch onto it, don't you? "Hey, that's mine. Don't touch it. It's mine." Well, they thought it was only theirs. Some of them did. And so they hung on to that promise that they were going to be blessed because they were related to that ancient patriarch, Abraham. So they very carefully traced their lineage. All of the Jews kept track. "Are you part of the family?" "Yeah, I am. See, it's right here, documented, black and white. Where's your papers?" "Right here. I am part of the family." This list of ancestry linked Jesus as a viable prospect to be the Messiah of Israel. Step number one, are you part of the family? Yes. Check that one off. Click. Done. God used both Matthew and Luke to identify Jesus' lineage. Matthew traces it back to God's model of faith, Abraham. Abraham was the foundation of this whole network of relationships that the Jews depended on. The fulfilled prophecies that are later written by Matthew identified the Messiah. God foretold in the Old Testament specific actions and characteristics of the coming one. After Matthew listed the family tree, he went on to list several of the way that Jesus fulfilled these prophecies, how Jesus was the answer, not a answer, but the answer to all of those prophecies. People failing to the test of genealogy immediately were disqualified. They could not be the Messiah, nor could anyone who failed any of the messianic prophecies be the Messiah. But Jesus did not fail either test. He passed both with flying colors, proving that he alone was the one promised Messiah. Jesus continually called all of those who heard his words to examine his words, comparing them with the Old Testament. "What do the prophets say?" he would ask the people. "Look at me," he would say. He came to fulfill all of the law, and his words would not pass away, Jesus said. So if Jesus' words do not pass away, they are like whose words? God's words, because God's words do not pass away. They are eternal words, God's words. Jesus was who? God. And the Jews understood that, and some of them hated him for that. Others loved him for that. Jesus is the promised one from King David's family. Abraham had several children. A lot of people don't realize that, but he had several children by more than one wife. His very first son from Hagar was Ishmael. The Muslims put a lot of stock in that. But then came Isaac through Sarah, his wife, and Isaac was the promised one. But then after Sarah died, Genesis chapter 25 records that Abraham married again, and he had six more sons. So he had eight boys altogether. But only one of those sons could carry the family line with the promise of a blessing to all of the earth. That one was, as I said, Isaac. Only Isaac received the promise of the covenant regarding the seed of Abraham. God repeated the promise not only to Isaac, but then to Isaac's second-born twin, the grandson of Abraham. His name was what? Jacob. Jacob is the one who received the promise, who in turn had 12 sons. Now which of the sons is going to be the promised one? Where is the blessing going to come from 12 sons? Well, God continued to prophesy and reveal that it would come through the line of Judah. And guess which family David was from? Tribe of Judah. The family of Judah. God had a plan, and he's sticking to it, as he always does. God led Matthew to list three segments of 14 generations. I guess you caught that as we were reading that. During the life of the last person in each segment, I find an interesting thing. Major events occurred in the nation of Israel, and it is pointed out as we go through that list. Segment one ends with King David. At the time of King David, Israel was the world power of the day. A lot of people don't think much of Israel, but they were the leading world power because God was blessing them so much under the righteous leadership of King David. God promised David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13 and following, that an eternal king from his family would reign, that there would always be a king on the throne from David's family, and he would reign forever. Interesting. In the second segment of that list, it ends with Israel totally ruined because they fell totally into what? Three-letter word, sin. They rejected God. They fell away from God. God scattered them and enslaved them, slaughtered a lot of them from the enemies, through the enemies, but always gave the reassurance and the promise that the king is coming, and that they would be free. And then we find segment three ends with a glorious fulfillment. The king came. Who was it? You're asleep already. I don't believe it. Jesus! Jesus came. He's the King. He's the descendant through the family of David. Jesus was the hope from God for all of the Jews. It was a priority that Jesus be a descendant from David so that the Jewish nation would recognize that God's promises are true, His prophecies are true, and God fulfilled the plan. Jesus was uniquely born in the city of David. Was that His hometown? Was that the family hometown? No. He was a descendant of David, but he was living elsewhere. But God used the decree of the Roman government to get the family out of their rut, out of their little community, to go to the city of David because of a census in the whole empire. The whole empire was disrupted. Jews everywhere were disrupted to go back to their hometown, the origin of their family, to register. And it was there that Mary had her baby. Matthew 21:9 records that 6 days before His crucifixion, the multitudes recognized and knew the ancestry of Jesus, because what were they shouting? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. He's the answer. He's the King. Now, the people were thinking of a different type of king than God, what God was. But the fact is, they knew that he was from the right family. Jesus is repeatedly presented as David's son throughout the rest of the New Testament, confirming his legitimacy as the promised one. 14 times in the Gospels alone, he is referred to as the son of David. The Apostle Peter states this relationship in Acts chapter 2 as he's preaching to the crowd on the first day the church began, that this Jesus who was crucified, that you crucified, is the Son of David. He is the King. The Apostle Peter reassured the people that Jesus is of the right family. The Apostle Paul continued identifying Jesus as the Son of David in the opening of his letter to the church at Rome. For those Jews who might be scattered over to Rome, hey, the promised King has come. The Savior has come. He is here for you. The Apostle John recorded this relationship as a fact in the book of Revelation. Jesus declares his legitimacy to John and to us. He had the right genes. Well, it just so happens a little 7-year-old Jenny stood in front of her parents at the counter in the store. They were lined up to cash out at the register, and a small-sized adult, I have to use the proper terminology, I'm sorry, I don't want anybody to scold me, a very small-sized adult came walking by, and Jenny overheard her mother tell her father in an audible whisper, "It's the genes that make the difference." Well, a few days later in school, and a classmate of Jenny's asked the teacher why some people did not grow up full size like everyone else and they remained little like the kids. Before the teacher could answer, Jenny jumped up, raising her hands and proudly announcing what she thought was the answer. "It's because they wear tight blue pants." Wrong genes. Jesus had the right genes. He was and is the descendant of David. He is the King promised by God. Third point, Jesus is the promised Savior for all people, not just the Jews, but for all people. The Messiah of the prophecy was to be God's Son, perfect in every way. And wouldn't you think that people who are going to be perfect in every way would have an exceptional family? They must be an outstanding family. Look how good they did raising that kid. He was perfect. They must have been great parents, right? Great family. Well, let's take a look at that family once again. Those of you who remember your Old Testament history, or you want to go back and do a little studying, note the motley bunch of people from God that God used to fulfill his promise of sending a Messiah. They weren't perfect. They were a motley bunch. After all, who could God use to bring a Messiah into the world from all people? Because how many people are perfect? Not a single one of us. All of us are sinners. But God was not held back. He used what was available. All have sinned. And God used humanity to accomplish his purpose. God used all types of kinfolk in his plan from the generations that preceded Jesus. He was not hindered by any failure of man, for he knew before creation exactly what they were going to do, what dumb things, what stupid things, what sinful things they were going to do. But God had a plan, and God keeps his plans. His plans are perfect. Notice that these men were not of the best quality throughout the history. Some of you know some of the stories. I would encourage you to do a little Old Testament review. Judah is listed, but Judah is the one who dreamed up the scheme to sell his little brother Joseph into slavery. Plus, he had some other bad qualities. If you're not familiar, you can read in Genesis chapter 38 about his wonderful qualities. Rehoboam is listed in our Lord's family tree, but he is the king who sealed the fate of the nation of Israel. He split the nation over his selfishness into the nations of Israel and Judah. Ahaz and Manasseh. Now, those are two wonderful guys, if you know Bible history. No, they were the two of the wickedest kings of Judah, and yet they are listed in the family tree? You got to be kidding. How many of you would sweep them under the rug? The fact is, every one of these men listed had sinned against God. They were not perfect. They were sinners. They came short of his perfect will. But God used them anyway. God even included women in this list that Matthew put together. Now, no good Jew is going to put together a list with women in his family tree. That was breaking tradition. It was shattered with repeated references to women. Did you notice that? But God had a plan, and he was sticking to it. Look at whom God included. Tamar was a seducer and an adulteress under the law. But God included her. Rahab was a harlot from Jericho and a foreigner in the land of Canaan who was under the strict order to kill all Canaanites. But God included her because she was a believer. Rahab, you're welcome if you believe in God. Not only you, but your whole family, if they believe God. And they were included and got married to an Israelite. And then along comes this little lady named Ruth. Ruth was a foreigner from Moab, and the law specifically condemned all Moabites. The law did. But she was a believer, and she married a Jew. Then there's the story of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was defiled by King David. They both should have been stoned to death. But David married her, and they bore a son named Solomon. God included her. They all had sinned against God. They all deserved death. But God worked with his people. Jesus is still our hope and our Redeemer. He is the descendant of the right family in spite of their sin. His bloodline is right, but it also includes numerous nations. Jesus came to seek and to save every single lost person. Because we all have sin and God loves all of us, Jesus came for all of us, including me and including you, including your neighbors that you may think they're not very good people. Jesus died for them too, and he wants them to come. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We are to link with and learn from Jesus. In Matthew 11, verse 28, all of us are invited. Jesus says in John 14, 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." And he invites all of us. He also identifies himself as the door, the good shepherd, the light of the world, the bread of life, true water, and so much more. And he is available for all. The Apostle Peter pronounced, "There is salvation in no other name than that of Jesus Christ," while he and his friend, fellow Apostle John, were on trial. Jesus is still the same one. Savior for all. In Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 9 and following, the Apostle Paul informs us that we who obediently believe Jesus as the Christ, as the Savior, can receive the promises which God gave clear back through Abraham. And Abraham can be our father. We can be included in the genealogy. We get adopted by faith through Jesus Christ to receive all the blessings from God that he has prepared beforehand. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to seek and to save the lost, including us. He is the Savior for all people who will believe in him. And we are just a small part of that motley group that are being brought to the majesty of God's transformation. How good are you? By myself, I'm nothing. But through Jesus, I'm a child of the King. Amen? Bible scholar William Barclay, writes that Jesus has broken the barrier between the Jew and the Gentile. He has thrown down the barrier between male and female. The separation between the supposed saint and the sinner is gone. Isaiah the prophet has warned, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. But Jesus is the good shepherd. Let's follow the good shepherd and be led to rivers of everlasting life. We, the motley, can receive his majesty." So let's walk with him. Amen? Let's share the good news. Jesus came for everybody, but they have to walk with him. Need to follow him. If you need to make a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ for the first time, or renew your relationship, we encourage you to do that today. God wants you now. We have a couple that have been baptized in Christ. They have gone through our class to make sure they understand our stand on major doctrines. And I'm going to invite them to come up for us at this time. If anybody else wants to come up too, we will deal with your needs as well. Steve and Michelle Aragon gave their life to the Lord several weeks ago in baptism, and I was supposed to do this last week. It went right over my head. And they confessed they were guilty too. But we welcome you into our church family. You've already drawn yourselves into the family. I think the family has wrapped themselves around you.
They have.
Yep. And praise God for His family in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. And we love you all.
She's a hugger. Look out. Seriously, if any of you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus, don't delay. Let's get it taken care of. Jesus wants you now because He has some wonderful gifts for you, better than anything you can find under the tree. Amen. Would you stand with me and join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, and your mercies upon us. We thank you for the opportunity to choose to be your children. We thank you for the decision of Steve and Michelle to be your children, to work with us side by side in your cause, in the cause of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for anyone else who needs to make that decision that they don't delay, but they immediately surrender their will to the Lord Jesus Christ and find the peace, the blessings, the joy, the gift of the Spirit, so much more. Eternity with you as sons of Abraham, children of promise. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Let us honor and glorify you, sharing the good news of hope in Jesus with those around us. We pray in His name. Amen.